Welcome to the Park Snacker Pod, your source for Disney Parks news. I am Matt, and I'm with my co-host, Katie. Katie, happy Halloween to you.
Thank you so much, and happy Halloween to you. Are you getting all spooky and ready to trick-or-treat with Cora?
I think she's still a bit too young to trick-or-treat.
Still too little.
But it's okay. I'm going to go trick-or-treating and eat all of her candy, so it's fine.
That's perfect. That's all you need. Does she have a costume?
Yeah, we are actually, I'm Sully from Monsters, Inc. My wife is Mike Wazowski, so, you know, with her being pregnant, you know, we have the eye for her belly, we have that. And then Cora's going to be Boo, of course. Boo in the monster, the monster costume that
actual monster. Oh yeah, my God, I'm obsessed. Yeah. I can't wait to see pictures. That's so fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. It's going to be, you know, chill weekend, watching some scary movies. Hanging out. If you want a recommendation, I watched the most intense. Oh, do you like scary movies? Because you gave me, I gave you a recommendation, but it was a horror comedy.
You did.
Yeah.
I like scary movies in October, to the point, but like, I don't actually like them, but I force myself to watch them because I feel like they're good for me in October. Yeah. Like a couple, I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago at this point, but we watched It, which I'm not scared of clowns. I thought I was going to be cool.
Yeah.
And I watch it, and towards, like, there's some jump scares, and towards the end of it, I'm like, okay, that kind of got me a little bit, I'm good.
Yeah.
Literally that night, I had the worst nightmare about the stupid clown, and I, like, woke up at 3 a.m., like, you know what? I deserve this. But, yes, I like them to an extent. What is your suggestion?
So there's this film that came out last month called Barbarian. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
All right. Well, so I'm not going to give much detail on it. Don't even don't watch a trailer. Don't read into it at all. But it's now on HBO Max. I was so excited to finally watch it. It is the most intense movie. Like, it's so good at building tension. So the brief overview, I'm giving this to everyone. If you want to watch a scary movie this weekend, what happens is two people end up booking an Airbnb. Like, you know, there was some booking on one website, one another, and they accidentally, like, book it. So they're like, oh, who should stay here? Like, what's going on? So it kind of plays into those, like, weird fears that people might have. But it goes in just crazy directions. And it is scary. It is, like, it's one of those movies that you watch through your eyes or through your hands.
Oh, no.
Sorry, through your hands, where you're like, oh, my God. I have my hands in my face right now. But, yeah, it's...
I mean, to be fair, I watch every scary movie with my fingers covering my eyes. So, like, the number of... Especially if it's gory. Like, I don't mind gory. I just, like, won't look at it. The number of times I will just stare across the couch at Nick and be like, oh, this is... great movie. Let me shoot my eyes on the screen.
You know, this one is definitely not for the kids. You know, there's some gory scenes in it, but what scares you is just like the tension that it builds.
That's a good kind of scary.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, if any Barbarian. Everyone out there, if you're looking for a good horror movie this weekend, Barbarian, it's streaming now on HBO Max. Highly recommend.
Nice. Well, we got to talk about those suggestions you gave me this past weekend. I was doing a bunch of Halloween-y, you know, haunted house kind of stuff. And so I requested you would give me a good scary movie because you know everything about movies. And you suggested I watch Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I've never laughed so loud. It was so funny. It's on, what was it? It was on Netflix, right? No. It's on Prime.
Oh, yeah. Prime Video. Yeah.
It's on Prime Video. Yeah. Oh my God. It just makes fun of all of the tropes and just some of their little quips. I'm just like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing.
Yeah.
So it's, very good reco and support 100%. Everyone should go watch it. It's not scary. It's gory.
It's like gory. There's some horror elements to it, but it's kind of funny. The main gist of that is that, okay, you know, what if the hillbillies in those scary movies that you see at the gas station and then you see at like a cabin, whatever. What if those hillbillies are actually like really nice guys and you're just like, you know, you're thinking the
wrong
things about it.
You're
stereotyping.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it plays off the, like, all the funny horror tropes, you know.
Oh my gosh.
It's really good though. So if you're looking for a more comedic horror film, but.
Yeah. We were both dying laughing. It was so funny.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are two good movies to watch on Halloween. You know, besides, you know, I know you're going to watch Hocus Pocus, Hocus Pocus yes. 2, Nightmare yes. Before Christmas, which I still believe is more of a Christmas movie. I do not watch that movie during the Halloween season. That is a Christmas really? Movie to me. Yeah. Where are you on that? Where are you on that side? Night Before Christmas, Halloween movie or Christmas movie?
Both. Why choose? I love that movie, and I will watch it from Halloween time, which whenever you decide to start Halloween, I usually don't do it until September, October, all the way through Christmas, for sure. I think it's a both. Like, I watch it right now because I'm like, oh, Halloween movie. Yeah. And then in a month from now, I'll be like, oh, Christmas movie. Great. I love it. I can't pick because I think it's both.
Yeah, yeah. But
although I think, I don't know, I think I'm going to turn back on that. I think I do think that it is actually more of a Halloween movie, but
man.
I respect that it could be both. Because the whole point is that he loves who he is on Halloween. He doesn't go, like, the end of the movie is him like, you're right, I am the pumpkin king.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah. Yeah, I think my argument is that most of the movie is spent talking about Christmas and, you know, transitioning to, you know, that change from Halloween to Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel more screen time. I haven't done the, you know, mathematical equations of which time is spent more. Okay. Maybe I'll, you know what? I will do that this season. I'll see how many minutes, you know, is spent on Christmas compared Halloween to Halloween. So.
Okay. Okay. I will say, so the way I determine is, so this is Halloween separate, but how I determine is something a Christmas movie, because there's a lot of questions on, like, is this a Christmas movie? Is this not a Christmas movie? Outside of Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So the way I determine, for me, how if I think something is a Christmas movie, if the plot could go on with it not having anything to do with Christmas time, snow time, like the holidays, if the plot would still stand without that, then it's not a Christmas movie.
Mm.
But if the Christmas or the snow or some kind of holidayness is like the center of the plot plot could not go on, then it's not a Christmas movie, which annoys me because the biggest one I always get is Die Hard, a Christmas movie. I've never seen Die Hard, but I asked that question to my coworkers who were fighting with me because I was like, no, it's not a Christmas movie. Like, absolutely not. But the plot apparently would not hold up if it weren't on Christmas.
No, because they're at a Christmas party.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So I was wrong, and I have to admit that Die Hard's a Christmas movie. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Nightmare Before Christmas could be a Christmas movie because it would not hold up without Christmas.
Yeah, could be either or.
There you go.
Oh, man, I could talk about movies forever and ever, you know. I used to do a movie podcast, if you don't know. I wish I did. I wish I still could. I just don't have the time to do it anymore. But yeah, so let's get into the Disney stuff. You know, that's what everyone is here for. Not much going on, you know, we don't, there's not a lot of news happening. You know, we got a Blizzard Beach reopening date. And then surprisingly, you know, in the past, Disney has not been like really great about announcing what restaurants are going to have like Thanksgiving meals, but they put out like a really good, you know, foodie guide this year. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we have lots of listener questions today. So we got a bunch in. So most of the time is going to be spent on listener questions, which those are always fun to go through.
I agree.
So, okay. Before that, we always got to talk about Park Snacker. It is a free mobile app where you can rate, review, and discover over 70,000 menu items at Walt Disney World. You can connect with your friends to see what they're snacking on. You can browse menus, create custom lists, and so much more. So head over to parksnacker.com today to download the app, available on iOS and Android. Again, go to parksnacker.com today to rate and review what you eat and drink at Disney World. All right.
Go ahead, Katie. Is this the first time you said 70,000? Or did I just miss it the first few times?
No, I've been saying it for a few weeks now. Yeah.
Have you? Okay, I've missed it. But yay, 70,000. That's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot. Getting new stuff all the time. For example,
we've got to be gearing up for the Festival of the Holidays now, too, right?
Yeah, Festival of the Holidays. Not yet, but we will. Yeah, we actually have a question about something like that today. So we'll talk about Festival of the Holidays. But yeah, for example, like, you know, I went to Enchanted Rose, and when we went, they actually put out like a new food menu. And finally, with Park Snacker, we just added in like the new menu. So I just rated rated a new item that I had that I was like, oh, nice. This is still menu. Still stuff I have to review for my previous trip. So
nice. How fun.
Yeah. Always something. Well, all right, let's get into the news. Well, you know, just in time for the winter, we have Blizzard Beach reopening over at Walt Disney World. You know, people have been waiting for that to reopen. You know, they've apparently done lots of renovations and refurbishments over there. It will reopen its gates on November 13th. The water park is actually going to include touches from Frozen. So over at Tykes Peak, which is like the junior play area, there's going to be Olaf and his Snowgy pals. I never knew they were called Snowgies.
Yeah, have you heard this? Snowgies.
Oh, Snowgies. Yeah. Oh, Snowgies. That's how you say it. Okay.
Snowgie. I call it Snowgies.
Really? Is that a term that's been around? Snowgies?
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
Snowgies.
Well, yeah, you're right.
I don't think I've ever seen it written. Snowgie. I guess that's fair.
Maybe. I've never seen it. I said Snowgie because I've just never, seen it before. Yeah, they're just like little, you know, they're like the little snowmen, snow boys, if you want. I don't know. Whatever. Snowgies.
They're the snowmen that get created when Elsa sneezes, right? Isn't that what happens in one of the shorts?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't
Frozen
remember.
Frozen fever, she sneezes, and all these little Snowgies pop. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm not a Frozen fan so much anymore, and I don't know that I ever really was. So, but I will admit that the Snowgies are cute.
Yeah, they are cute. So yeah, they're incorporated now into Blizzard Beach. And then there will be some holiday festivities going on. So there'll be some limited time food and drink options, including the orange Dole Whip, orange bird Dole Whip cone and a peppermint milkshake. And then through December 31st, you can immerse yourself in a merry atmosphere that has a daily snowfall, holiday music, festive inner tubes, and a tropical dressed Santa. So that is going to be happening from the 13th through the 31st. There will be new food and drink options, of course, the Cajun Shrimp and Grits or the Watermelon Passion Lemonade over at Lotta Wada Lounge. And then returning flavors, including the seasonal Dole Whip offerings, a double bacon cheeseburger, and, of course, the 50th Ice Dream Sand Pail Sundae. So those are the fun new things happening over at Blizzard Beach. Man, I have not been there since 98. And
yeah,
it's been a long time.
I think I maybe went once or twice during my CP.
Mm-hmm.
I think just once, and that was only because I was like, well, shoot, I think it's like it was like November or something, and I was about to leave, and I was like, I've not been to the water park. I'm not a water park fan, though, so this doesn't really shock me. But I will say, I feel like I remember them always having holiday music playing like the whole time. That was kind of their thing. Was it all Christmassy?
Yeah, I think. Well, I think
it's more.
No, I think it. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know enough about the water park histories. I will say I did get super, super annoyed when they announced that Frozen was taking over because they made it sound like it was such a bigger deal, like they were overhauling a whole bunch of stuff
Stuff, yeah.
Which is good because I'm getting really peeved at Disney throwing IP at things, and Frozen's old enough now that we can let it go a little. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I like the Snowgies, they're cute, but I'm glad that they're only in the little kitty section. Because if Frozen took over more of the park, I'd be very annoyed. It had its own story. I don't know it by heart, but it had its own story. I want these parks to have their own story.
Yeah. What was it? They were trying to plan a... Oh, man. Yeah. I feel like I definitely know this story, but I can't remember. I think they were trying to plan a ski mountain or ski park in Florida, but then it just didn't work out and then became Blizzard Beach. I think that's how the story went. I can't remember exactly. So, but anyways, but
cool
yeah.
stuff anyways.
Yeah. So, you know, the article said that they do have heated water. So, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You know, just try to find a nice warm day. It has been pretty cold there. It seems like, you know, recently, you know, cold for them is like 60s and 70s.
So. I was going to say, cold for them is not cold for us.
I know. So
cold for them is my ideal temperatures year round. So.
I know. I wish. Yeah.
I know.
But yeah, so Blizzard Beach reopening November 13th. So check that out. And then the next topic we have, Thanksgiving is coming soon. I can't believe how fast it is already coming up. I was like checking my, you know, today I put in all my days off for like Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm like, there's just no time. It is coming
Zooming
up
past.
Fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
So throughout the month of November, leading up to Thanksgiving Day on November 24th, you'll be able to gobble down classics like Thanksgiving dinners all across all of the resorts, the parks, and Disney Springs. So there's going to be lots of treats, lots of Thanksgiving meals. You're going to be you'll be able to find the Thanksgiving dinner, this one specifically, at multiple quick service locations. It has roasted turkey dinner, cornbread stuffing, mashed potatoes with turkey gravy, seasonal vegetables, and cranberry relish. So that's like, you know, if you just want to get your Thanksgiving meal in, something quick, go to the quick service locations. I know they're at, you know, the value resorts. I also saw it at like Roaring Fork and Wilderness Lodge, so it's just, you know, it's not values only. Disney, you know, Disney blog put out a huge Thanksgiving foodie guide post. You can also go to their new Disney Eats website as well. So check that out, you know, for all the listings there in their restaurants. They also listed all of the table service restaurants, you know, like Jiko was even in there. Nice. You know, a bunch of Disney Springs restaurants, and they all have, you know, on November 24th only, like their specific holiday meal. So look at all the different options. I would do that immediately and see, you know, if you're going to be in Disney for Thanksgiving. Find out, you know, if this is important to you, try to get into one of those restaurants. You know, they're going to go pretty quickly. I'm not going to list off all of them here because, like, it's a huge list that Disney put out. But, you know, like I said earlier in the podcast, like, you know, I've been doing – I did Excess Press for a while, and I remember, like, when I did that – sorry, my old podcast, you know, back in 2018, 19, I don't remember them ever really talking about Thanksgiving meals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like finally they're like – you know, they maybe did it last year. I don't remember. You know, it's kind of still in the COVID times.
Yeah.
But, you know, now at least they have a huge foodie guide for this.
Nice. Yeah, I actually completely missed that getting published. So I'll have to go take a look at what all the cool table service restaurants have and what that. I'm a sucker for some Thanksgiving food, man. I don't like turkey, but all of the sides is what I will literally stuff myself with. Yeah. I won't eat any turkey, but
I'm more of a, I like the dark meat on the turkey, so that's me.
Yeah, if I eat turkey, it's the dark meat, but I'm just not a turkey fan.
No, I hear you. What's your favorite side?
I'm guessing I can't say all of them.
No, then I would have asked you that.
Love me some sweet potatoes. Like sweet potato casserole, extra marshmallows, naturally, because I am 5. But also big stuffing fan.
So yeah, stuffing is not one of my favorites. It's as a kid, I never liked it, but now it's like, it's kind of growing on me a bit more. Okay. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say
it's probably a tie between.
Yeah. I would say like cornbread. We always like my sister-in-law makes a mean cornbread last Thanksgiving. So we have these like containers. We have these like clear containers and not labeled like well at all. And we have one with flour and one. Then we have one with confectioner sugar.
Oh, no.
So in the cornbread, she made it and she's like, why are these not like rising well enough? And she ended up using like confectioner sugar for the cornbread. It was actually still really good. Very sweet cornbread, but yeah.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, look out, you know, if that's important to you, make sure you hit up that Disney Parks blog for all of those, you know, Thanksgiving meals. Cause there's, like I said, there's a ton. There's a lot of new treats. You know, they have like a cupcake that's going to be at every, you know, lots of different multiple locations. I saw like a pumpkin tart too. So check that out. That's the news for this week.
So much fun news.
I know.
I didn't think we were going to get through it all.
I know. There's like small things, you know, we don't need to talk about the fire that happened at the barges, you know, during Harmonious.
Only the fact that it didn't actually take the barges out and they're still there.
I know. We don't need to talk about that. You know, we don't need to talk about how people saw the train up in like about on the Disney Railroad, which is exciting.
Oh, I missed that one. That's cool.
Yeah, that was up, you know, lots of small things, but you know, I thought, why not ask for listener questions? And I'm happy we got a bunch in from Instagram.
Yeah.
So we're going to go through those. So first listener question, I'm putting this one at the top because I feel like this one is the most relevant right now. So from Pixie Dusted Ray, I apologize. Pretty sure.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Confirm for me if you don't mind.
Got
But it was asked, do you think the Fantasmic dinner package will be difficult to get? So I did a bit of research on there, and I checked multiple dates in December because it's not going to be available until November, until after November 30th. And some of the days early on were unavailable. Other days did have availability. I saw that 50s Primetime and Mama Melrose seemed to be the more popular options. So they were, you know, they were gone. Whereas, some news came out about the fans, which restaurants are included. It's the five restaurants at Hollywood Studios, which is 50s Primetime Cafe, Hollywood and Vine, Mama Melrose, Sci-Fi Dine-In, and the Hollywood Brown Derby. So I found that 50s Primetime and Mama Melrose were, you know, gone for most of the days. I think I checked 7 days throughout randomly in December. And, you know, those were like pretty consistently gone. I think there was like one day where I saw them both available. I can't remember which day.
I didn't realize Mama Melrose was that, I don't know, sought after.
I mean, people love Italian food. I mean, you know, you have all the picky eaters out there. That's where they, you know, they kind of go to. So if, you know, if you want to book a dining package, then I would 100% like do it at your 60-day mark. You know, I don't know when you're planning on doing your trip, but definitely book it at the 60-day mark. It's if it's something you really want to do. And then, yeah, so with the dining package, you get an entree, an appetizer, or dessert. And then if you go Hollywood and Vine, you know, you get the full buffet included in that. And then a non-alcoholic beverage, of course. And then a voucher for your guaranteed seating at Fantasmic in a reserved area, which is usually, you know, front and center. So did you find out for me, Katie?
Yes. Her name is Rachel. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. Appreciate that question. So again, book it immediately. I think it's worth it. I've done it in the past. I would do it again. If it, you know, Fantasmic, you want to see it, do it.
Yeah, I'm actually, I know last time we talked, I wasn't really considering it, but I think I really am super considering it now.
Yeah, the lowest one, the lowest dining package starts at $49.
Which is not bad.
Yeah, I mean, you can get an appetizer or dessert, you know, a meal, and then at least in one non-alcoholic beverage. So, like, it could, you know, it adds up. Just, you know, get the most expensive meal on the menu.
I know. I would say I bet the $49 one is probably Sci-Fi because of those options, I feel like Sci-Fi is the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I would spend $50 at Sci-Fi.
Yeah, I saw the prices. I didn't have it in here. The prices were listed.
That said, I love Sci-Fi, so if anyone has the opportunity to ever go to Sci-Fi, do it. The menu is nothing fun, but the atmosphere is a solid 11 out of 10.
Yeah, I've never gone. I've never been there. I never had too much of a desire. Maybe when, like, I bring, the kids or something like that, you know, maybe.
I will say one of my very first Disney memories ever is when I went to the parks when I was 3. And I just remember vividly sitting in the cars and I guess my dad had a cupcake or I had a cupcake and my dad wanted a bite and I kept like putting icing in his face. Okay. Maybe it's not that vivid of a memory, but I had a cupcake and I was sitting in the car and that was my very first Disney memory. So maybe I have some nostalgia going on with me. I do wish that Sci-Fi would completely revamp their menu because their menu is very basic.
Yeah.
There's nothing fancy about their menu. They have really good milkshakes, though.
Katie, you were right. Sci-Fi starts at $49. Then you have 50s Primetime Cafe at $51. Mama Melrose is then $54. Hollywood and Vine Lunch and Dinner Buffet, $71. Brown Derby is $73.
Dang.
So. Okay. Yeah, those for adults. Kids are much cheaper, just FYI. So ages 9 and under.
Okay. So yeah, definitely an option. I think if you're wanting to get some good seats at Fantasmic and you're planning on doing a table service anyway, you might as well.
Yeah. Cool. So that is that's the question there. Thank you again, Rachel, for sending that one in. All right. So, Katie, I'll let you choose the next question on here.
Well, let's just go down the list because otherwise I'm going to forget.
Okay, we'll go down the list.
And I haven't actually read any of your questions.
Oh, no worries. All right.
I'm really good at preparing for these conversations. All right, the next question is from Mrs. Sharkey. Should we plan on one table service per day with an active kiddo or do more quick service? I have a pretty solid answer or strong opinion answer on this one. So I'm not, and I'm almost positive that me and you are going to have a different perspective. I'm not a table service fan in general. There's a time and place for it, and I like one or two maybe per trip. And I've never taken my own kids to Disney. I've been with my nieces and nephews who are very active. So I find it hard to get the kids to settle down for a table service because you are there usually for at least an hour plus mm-hmm. for most of the experiences. Depends on what you do. If it's a character dining, it could be even more. So if you are, you know, if you're dealing with an active kiddo and running, trying to do everything, quick service is the way to go because you can mobile order it, pick it up, eat it on the go if you need to. If your kiddo is run all the way up until 4 o'clock, but you have a 6 o'clock dining reservation and all of a sudden 4 o'clock, he decides, nope, done, out of here, nap time, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then you're not stuck with a cranky kid at 6 o'clock when he just wanted to eat at 4 o'clock or what have you. Mm-hmm. So if you are needing something more flexible, quick service is the way to go. If you're worried about your kid being able to sit through a meal, you can't go wrong. There's a lot of really good quick service. You're not going to just get your standard chicken fingers and fries. You can anywhere. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of places that have fun quick service options.
Yeah, I don't know if my opinion would differ too much. You know, I have not been with like an active kid. You know, yeah. It sounds like her next question says 5-year-old. So we have another question from her as well. So I'm assuming that's, you know, their age.
Same kid. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough. I don't know how they act, you know, at a, you know, dining somewhere after like, you know, a long day in the parks or, you know, a long morning and you're going for like a lunch. You know, if you want to make a safe bet, then, you know, do quick service. My suggestion, if you want to try a table service, there's always something available like throughout the day. You know, mm-hmm. I've had no issue on our last trip. You know, it was a bit slower over time, but I had no issue finding a reservation. So like if you want to try something like last minute, give it a shot, see how they act. And then, you know, maybe lesson will be learned and you just don't do it again. But yeah, I think quick service will definitely be more of an option for you mm-hmm. and definitely mobile order. Yeah,
definitely mobile order, everyone. Kids or no kids, mobile order. Yes. I did think of one thing. I will say there are some table service restaurants that are better suited for kiddos as well. Your character dinings are going to keep their attention a lot longer. Mm-hmm. Places like Whispering Canyon that has kinds of activities throughout the evening and throughout the mealtime for the kids to get up and run around and, you know, do whatever. Ohana, at least in breakfast, has characters. And when I went years and years ago, mm-hmm. I know during dinner they did different, like there was a luau, that's the word, like luau kind of dance kind of thing. And like they played different games and ran around the so like different restaurants have different themings that are more geared towards keeping the kids kind of distracted while they wait for food or mm-hmm. whatever. So if you want to do a table service as adults and you're worried about having the kid, you know, not handle it or be chill, just look at which ones have different activities included. Like, I wouldn't go somewhere like Hollywood Brown Derby, which is more formal and sit down in like a strict restaurant versus Whispering Canyon. Everyone's yelling and screaming and hooping and hollering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even like a, you know, a buffet. You know, mm-hmm. like a Hollywood and Vine or, you know, Tiffin's or something where you can get up with them and it's fun for them to like go get food as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, you know, could help them choose out things that they want. So, you know, I think those are great suggestions, Katie, because I did find now my toddler's at 18 months and she's at a time where she does start to get antsier quicker when we mm-hmm. sit down at table service. I remember like back in the day when we first started going down to just restaurants in general with her, and she was like super chill. But now that she's a little bit older, she's like, yeah, I don't want to be in here that long. So, but with the character character breakfast at Topolino's, it like worked out super, super well where, you know, the characters are always coming by, she's getting distracted and stuff. So, cool. Yeah, good suggestions there. All right. Another question from Mrs. Sharkey as well. Tips for a monorail crawl with a 5-year-old in tow. We want to see the resorts and grab food or drinks. I think this is, you know, great. I mean, luckily with, you know, on the monorail, we have the Contemporary, Polynesian, the Grand Floridian. What's good is that you can just walk around with them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy enough. You know, there's so many good quick service locations that you can, you know, try to get food at or snacks. You know, if you're at the Polynesian, you can grab a Dole Whip. You know, mm-hmm. they have the pineapple and I. You can, you know, do that. If you want, they have Captain Cook's in there where you can get like cupcakes or different treats. For the adults, if you want some drinks, go to the Tiki Terrace outside. You know, those are all the drinks that you can get at Trader Sam's. But you know, there's just like a stand outside, and then around the corner is the Pineapple and I. So that's, you know, those are good options. You know, at the Grand Floridian, a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit tougher. The only thing that they really have is Gasparilla Island Grill, which they always do have really fun. Like, they always get like the good holiday treats. So mm-hmm. if you're looking for like special holiday treats, whenever you're going, they always have something. So like, I knew when I was staying there, I was pumped because they had all the Halloween stuff. But, you know, for whatever reason, Grand Floridian gets lucky. They always get, you know, the good treats. So make sure you do that. Let's see. Contemporary. Sorry, Katie, I'm going. Contemporary
going.
Has Contempo Cafe, which, you know, you can get other treats and stuff over there. Excuse me. I got like the monorail cupcake. It's like a cookies and cream monorail cupcake. So there's always like something going on over there. And then I don't know when the Wave opens. The Wave is like a bar that's, you know, in the main concourse area near Contempo Cafe. Nothing special, but, you know, if the adults want to grab like a few drinks, they could. I don't know if I would recommend going in to Steakhouse 71 Lounge with the kid. I think there's some separate seating areas, but I can't remember exactly. Otherwise, you might just be like, well, it says lounge, so there has to be, because I remember them mm-hmm. having different sections. So possibly, but all right, Katie, I'm going to let you take over. But those are, you know, because this was fresh in my mind because I just did.
Yeah.
Like monorail crawls. And those were all the places I went to eat and drink. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's totally cool because I've never really done a monorail crawl. Like, I've hit up these places here and there, but not, you know, as an actual thing. My suggestions are more like what to do with the kid as you're having fun and enjoying your drinks and your snacks. One could be a good time to get into pin trading because a lot of the resorts in the gift shops and at the front desks have pin boards that are sometimes you can actually find some pretty good pins on them. Mm-hmm. So I'll kind of backtrack a bit. I think having something for the kid to look forward to at each resort is just as important as like what you want to get out of your drink and whatnot, right? So mm-hmm. make a point to explore the resort, which I imagine is a big part of doing a monorail crawl. Like, explore the gift shops and do some pin trading. They also have pressed pennies, and the resorts have their own specific pressed pennies that are much more unique than the ones that you find at the castle or in the other parks. And they're 50 cents a dollar at this point or something for a pressed penny. So it's a fun
$10
little
a penny.
Yeah,
just
right.
Just kidding.
It's going to get there at some point. Depends on when you're doing the monorail crawl, if it's this month or next.
Yeah.
But it's actually, like, all things considered, a relatively cheap souvenir that the kid can kind of keep all of your pennies in a little pouch and, you know, collect them and play with them as you're touring the different places. And you can kind of make a point of, like, okay, who's going to be the first one to find the press penny machine and all of that kind of stuff. So those are my cool things. A lot of the resorts, and especially the gift shops, like, they have a lot of cool stuff for the kids to do, like children's activities kind of thing. So I would make sure that you're not only just going to the different lounges, which you can stop there, but have something to distract your kid and have your kid look forward to going to the next resort to see what next penny he can get or what have you.
Yeah. I remember when I was at the Polynesian, I feel like, because I actually went to the Polynesian like 3 or 4 times, maybe 3 times I went. Every time I went there a day or, you know, I went there during the day once or twice and then definitely at night a couple times, there was always some kind of activity happening outside. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, right by Pineapple and I, like something with the kids, there was, you know, I don't know if they have it listed anywhere, but, you know, look out to see if there was something, but it was like always active in that area. So there might be something over there to do while you're sipping on like a, you know, a tiki rum.
Exactly. And if you don't know what the activities are ahead of time, just stop by the front desk and ask for their activities listed for the day. They'll have it. And usually it'll be posted next to the front desk too.
Yeah, for sure.
Or somewhere in the lobby.
And make sure you walk the grounds. You know, because those resorts are, you know, big. Polynesian's a bit difficult right now because there's so much construction right now. But, you know, the Grand Floridian's huge. You know, there's lots to see there. And, you know, there's some balconies that you can walk out of to see the Magic Kingdom out over at the Contemporary. It's always fun watching the monorail go in and out as well. But, yeah, those are the stops that at least I did when I was there. So, yeah, check those out. All right. So next question. This should be probably a fast one. Quiriza 12 asks, do most kids like blue milk?
Listen, I am your standard 5-year-old child and blue milk is disgusting.
I'm more of a green milk kind of guy. I got it again when last time I was there. I love the green milk. I've never heard if any kids, you know, like this or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, I haven't heard either. My main thing is if your kid's weird with consistency and like textures, this probably isn't it for them because it is a weird consistency because it's not quite a slushy and it's not quite milk. Yeah. So if your kid has like weird foodie things, it's which is I'm not a texture person. Like it doesn't typically bother me, but this shit's weird. I can't do it. That would be my only call out if your kid is already a picky eater or like a textury kind of whatever kids have quirks and you probably skip it.
I would definitely agree with that. If they're pretty picky, but if they're adventurous, I feel like they would like it. But if you know they're picky, then just don't try it. So all right, next question. We have a couple questions from Weberto Campos on Instagram. Going to Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party next month during our stay. Anything special I should try? Well, every year they always come out with, you know, the holiday updates, like the food, and they have not done that yet. I would imagine by the time we record next week, they will have announced all the food that's coming, you know, during the Very Merry Christmas Party and for the holiday season. It always usually happens like a week before whatever, you know, event, you know, or holiday comes out. So it's usually like a week before. I can't recommend anything right now. I mean, I was there during Christmas time in 2019 and everything I had was either mediocre or bad for the holidays. Just too much sugar. It just didn't taste very good. So. I can't recommend anything just yet, but don't worry, when the list for all the food and drinks come out, we'll be talking about it. So fortunately I don't have a good answer right now.
Yeah. With any party, food, snacks aside, we'll talk about that, but just make sure when you're doing a party, know what your priorities are. You can't snack everything. You can't ride everything and you can't see everything. You can't meet all the characters. So pick your priorities and either stick to them or just be super flexible. That's my biggest call out for any time we talk parties.
Yeah, I think make sure you do not waste, because they always give out free cookies as part of the holiday, part of the Christmas party. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to cut corners and it's not there this year. But, you know, stay away from those lines because you just waste time. Like, if you want to try something special, go wait in line for that instead. Mm-hmm. Usually those lines aren't long either. The lines for the free cookies are longer than the...
And they're not that good. I've never had them, but they're not that good.
Yeah, don't waste your time on that.
And anytime there's a stage show or parade or fireworks show, if those aren't your top tier items, go ride rides. You can bust through a whole bunch of stuff during the shows.
Yeah. Perfect.
Always, if as long as you don't have little littles, always see the second show. If there's a second show or second mm-hmm. parade, always see the second one because it won't be as crowded.
And I know I've said this before, but the Christmas overlay for Space Mountain is amazing. Like, if it's the same thing, the holiday lights, the like the kind of Trans-Siberian Orchestra type music in there, it's dope. It's really dope. Fun.
I have tickets to see TSO this year, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, jealous. I've always wanted to see them.
Oh my God, we've done it 3 times now. It's the coolest show. Anyway, and I've never done the Space Mountain overlay with it, but I cannot.
Well, I don't know if it's Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but it's like...
But that vibe.
It's the same vibe.
Yeah, same vibe, so. Sounds so fun.
Yeah. So the next question from Roberto Campos is, does Epcot have any special food or treats for the holidays? Well, yes, of course. They have the Festival of the Holidays.
Yes.
So the Disney has not released the menus for that yet, but I guarantee in like a week time. I don't know when.
The holidays might be a little bit later because Festival of the Holidays is usually only late November, right?
Yeah, when I think it's like mid to late. Yeah, Katie's going to look that up real quick. But, you know, it's going to happen in a few weeks where we get like the menus and stuff for that. We have, if you look in our app Park Snacker, we have, if you go to the Epcot Festival Hub section, you'll see the Festival of the Holidays. And you can look at all the menus from last year and all the ratings and reviews we have from there. And we'll make sure to add it into the app this year. But yeah, Epcot is, the place to be to get some holiday treats and foods. So,
yep.
And drinks, of course.
Of course. Festival of the Holidays is running November 25th through December 30th. So, yeah, late November. So you might have a little bit while on the official food items.
Yeah, so probably like mid-November we'll have the official food list.
I'm seeing something on the Disney food blog that looks like they might have some of the food. I'm not reading this whole thing, but we might have some sneaky peeks. Okay. But it should be coming soon regardless.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Next question. Jen Janksel. Hopefully I'm saying all these names correct. Probably not. Can you give advice on a snack tour of the resorts?
So this is hard.
This is a broad question. So we already did, if you want to do like a monorail crawl for snacks, we've already mentioned that. You could do a boat tour.
Ooh.
If you wanted to, if you wanted to go between, say you're at Magic Kingdom and you wanted to do Wilderness Lodge in Fort Wilderness, you could do that. I actually don't. Did I mention this on the last podcast or my trip report? I don't know. We went to Fort Wilderness on our trip because we had time in between Wilderness Lodge and our stay at Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get the iced campfire s'mores latte over at P&J's takeout. Oh my God. So good. So good. And we still went to the Tri-Circle Ranch Barn and of course saw the horses and stuff over there. So that was a lot of fun. But if you want to get snacks, you can go to Roaring Fork. They have lots of stuff over there at Wilderness Lodge. And then you can take a boat over to Fort Wilderness, do P&J's takeout, where they have different, fun drinks and snacks over there. You could do a Skyliner tour.
Yeah, that's what I was going to suggest.
Oh, sorry. You talk about it then.
That's a good idea. So my advice is find resorts that are easily connected. Yes. I mean, unless you have a car, which even if you have a car, some of the resorts are just not that easy to get to and from.
Mm-hmm.
So boat tour with Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness, good call. Skyliner tour can hit up a whole bunch of really cool ones. You get Pop Century / Art of Animation. You get the Caribbean Beach Resort. You get Riviera. And then, of course, you even get all of the Epcot resort area as well. So you get Yacht and Beach and you get the boardwalk, even the Swan and Dolphin. I don't know much about them, but you even have the Swan and Dolphin there. So my suggestion is to find a way that they're all connected and be close. Or if you want to be super strategic about it, say, like, get really specific about what kind of snacks you want, right? So, like, do a cupcake tour. And so pick a couple of the different resorts that have cute cupcakes and only get a cupcake at each place.
Yeah, I would definitely know, I think, what you want ahead of time.
You need to have a game plan for sure. I don't think you can just wing it. But love the idea of doing a Skyliner tour. That would be fun.
Yeah, and I think I wouldn't recommend doing, like, a resort tour with your car. Only because, like, resorts can be really strict about parking. So depending on the time of year, you know, they may or may not ask you if you have a resort reservation or a dining reservation. They might not let you even park there. I've heard plenty of stories where people try to just park to go, you know, walk around the resort and they will not let you.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard stories where they do let you. So I don't, you know, I want to make sure that if you do try it and they deny you, I don't want you to waste your time. So I think, you know, if you're at like a park or if you want to do any your day off, maybe get like lunch somewhere or make it, you know, may have a resort reservation or maybe it's a resort you're at. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just do a connected tour. So, you know, the Skyliner is great because there's just so many resorts. You got Pop Century, Art of Animation, Caribbean Beach, the Riviera. You know, then that, yeah, like Katie said, take you to the boardwalk. So there's so much over there. Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, I think those would be our advice and game plan on that. So good luck. Good luck with the snack tour. All right, Katie. Here, you read these questions.
All right. Yeah. So I got a couple on my page as well. So these first two are from Laura Caprino, LS Caprino on Instagram. So she asks, thoughts on fireworks dessert parties? Should we go pre-fireworks dessert party or post-fireworks dessert party? Is it worth it? And is it substantial enough to serve as a meal? I've never done a dessert party. Have you?
I have not. So I've heard great things about it, you know, for the most part. If I were to pick one, I would definitely would rather do pre-party, I think, because I want to make use of like the slow wait times after the fireworks to go on like rides and stuff. That's just me. So if I were to choose one, go pre. They have a post one?
I guess they do. I thought so, Tom. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know if it's like in the same day. I know that there's a pre and I know that there's a post. I don't know if they're always in the same day.
Okay.
I don't know much about fireworks dessert parties. It was never anything that appealed to me. I don't eat enough desserts to make it worth my money. I know some of them / all of them do include alcohol, which you could definitely get your money's worth if you have a DD in someone.
I mean, I feel like you could do it as a meal. Like, you could totally stuff your face with snacks and get like a stomach ache. You don't want to get full from that.
Yeah,
like, you know, they don't limit you on, you know.
Yeah, how much you can eat as much as you want. Yeah, for sure. It's not going to be anything nutritious and it's not going to be anything substantial for food. But if you are really just wanting a ton of snacks and desserts and sweet stuff, like from everything I've seen, I don't even remember too many savory treats, which I'm much more of a savory dessert versus a sweet dessert. So I don't remember seeing too much of that, or else I probably would have been a lot more intrigued by it. So is it worth it? It's up to you. It is a great way to view the fireworks without crowds. It is something fun and exclusive. And you get to be one of those people that everyone walks by and it's like, oh my God, they look so fancy. They must be so important. or at least that's what I always do.
Honestly, it might be worth it just to like have like a reserve spot because it is crowded in the hub. And like we waited like 45 minutes early and it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
Like so in just like a huge group of people. People are freaking annoying. I'm sorry. But like, man, I honestly like doing the Epcot wasn't so bad because we found an empty spot like along the gate and we didn't feel like, you know, people were on top of us. But man, standing in the hub in Magic Kingdom, that was just like, it was just like not fun. As much as I loved Enchantment, like I don't want to, like I'm not going to waste my time doing that again. And I feel like, you know me, I like advantage. I feel like I would do a dessert party
in the future, just to avoid the crowds. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
It is a pretty expensive party as well. Like it's not cheap. It's even for kids, I think it's over $100, right?
I don't know. I don't have the
price tag. I know it's super, super expensive. So, it depends. It goes back to your priorities, right? Like if you're a super sweets person and if you don't like crowds and if you really want to make sure you have good time to see the show, do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's your once in a lifetime trip, then do it. Might as well try it. Something new. Me personally, I don't have any desire to ever do one. But that's because I'm not always into the fireworks shows and I'm not a big dessert person. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. So those are our, I don't know, somewhat kind of decent kind of thoughts on dessert party, our hypothetical.
Hypothetical. Yeah. We're probably not the best ones to talk about.
Yeah. So.
All right. The other question that Laura has is the best non-park character dining options for a rest day. Topolino's has got to be number one, right? Over at Riviera?
Sure, yeah.
I've never done it. You have, but I hear that's the greatest.
Not for dinner.
It doesn't necessarily.
Non-park
character dining. So it doesn't necessarily.
I read it wrong. So not in a park, but character dining options for a rest day. Okay. I read it as like non-character dining options. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, I think she's saying character dining only because I know her and I've talked about this with her at work a lot, Laura. Come on. but Topolino's is definitely a best bet. Chef Mickey's is also a classic. It's nothing special, but you get to see all the Fab Five characters and it's just kind of a fun, kids-friendly place. If you are looking for character dining that's not as kid-focused, haven't done it, but Storybook Dining over at Wilderness Lodge with Snow White and all of the dwarves and that kind of thing. It always
they only have a couple
fun.
Of dwarves and you have the queen.
Yeah.
Evil queen. So there's not all of them.
Well, okay. Still kind of a fun atmosphere. I don't know how much kids like it because Snow White isn't really super high up on a kid's list.
Yeah.
But it looks like a cool place.
Yeah.
What about you? Those are the first ones that came to my mind.
Topolino's was fantastic. I'm trying to think what else, because you already mentioned the three.
Ohana for breakfast.
Cape May Cafe has breakfast, right?
Cape May Cafe has characters only at breakfast.
Yeah, only at breakfast.
Same with Ohana has characters only at breakfast.
Yep, Ohana, yep.
Love Ohana.
I love Trattoria El Forno, which has characters, but I don't think they're back.
I was going to say, no, it's not back yet, is it?
No, yeah, it's not back yet.
That was the cool, I've done their brunch, the Bon Voyage brunch.
That has Rapunzel, Flynn Rider, Ariel, and Prince Eric over there.
Oh my gosh, I had the best time, and I swear to God, when I went there 4 years ago, 5 years ago, a long, long time ago, I met Prince Eric, and I swear he was 12. I'm not kidding. I still go back and look at these pictures sometimes. I'm like, there's no way that you're 16, like 18. There's no way. You look like you're 12. But it was so good. Love. I'm very excited for that one to hopefully come back because that was a really good brunch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you can get Topolino's, I would definitely do that for breakfast because breakfast is good. But, you know, we've already mentioned all the different options. There aren't too many outside the parks. But, yeah, Ohana just had characters return, I believe. I think they did. Cool. Yeah. So, cool. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck with those. All right. Last question. I like this one.
I know you. I knew you would like this one as soon as it came in. So this comes from KM Pretzel, Kristen. Fun fact, Kristen and I did our CP together 8 years ago. Crazy stuff. So top three extinct Disney World attractions. I was having a brain fart and I literally couldn't think of any earlier today, but I need to say this, and this is mostly for Kristen. Great movie ride, because that's what she was big fan of. but Great Movie Ride for sure is one of the top ones for me. It's kind of the same, but I miss when it was Maelstrom instead of Frozen, which we talked about Frozen earlier. I miss when it was Maelstrom over in Norway at Epcot.
Yeah.
It's the same ride, but it's not the same. and I have to think about my third one. What is yours? I know what your first one is. I'm pretty sure your first one takes up your top three.
Yeah. You know, I was trying to think. I'm like trying to find. One is definitely Body Wars.
What is Body Wars?
You don't know Body Wars? Come on, Katie.
Whoa, okay.
You don't know Body Wars? Katie, this is like the second time I've had this be like, I don't know if you could be my co-host anymore.
I got fired just like that?
Yeah, okay. Body Wars was the motion simulator ride in Epcot over at the Wonders of Life Pavilion, where the story is you can go inside the human body and you get shrunk down in this machine and you go inside like a human to, I forget exactly what you have to do, but like the red blood cells are coming at you. You find like a splinter in someone's hand.
So like Osmosis Jones.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
I've literally never heard of this in my life.
Yeah, it stars Elizabeth Shue. She's like a big actress these days. She was in it. What is that guy name? He passed away somewhat recently. I can't remember, but Body Wars. It was great.
Okay. All right.
I would say after that, I actually said this, on my last trip, which it's still fresh in my mind, but I wish Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was still around.
I miss the play area.
Oh, in Hollywood Studios. Yeah, the play area was awesome.
I don't remember the show too much. I remember it being a show, but the show never stood out to me.
I remember loving the show.
The play area was where it's at. I was so scared of that ant. Oh my god.
I have home movie footage of us in 1994 on that thing.
I'm pretty sure there's a picture of me sitting on the ant or next to the ant or something, and I am just like terrified.
Yeah. Okay. So that, and then of course, you know, my favorite extraterrestrial alien encounter is my number one. And, you know, I won't go much into that, but that was the scariest thing. You know, I was 10 years old. It's sunk, you know, it's in my head. It was so vivid. I remember everything, you know, everything else about that trip. I don't remember much, but that I just remember being so scared, grabbing on my mom's hand, man, that ride was awesome.
Oh, man.
Wish it was back. So I would say those are my top three extinct attractions.
All right. I thought of one more, and I don't know if this officially counts, but if you choose Body Wars, then I'm choosing this one. And I can't remember what it's called, but you used to be able to build a roller coaster in the Imagineering or Imagineworks, something. I can't remember what it's called. Was it just Interventions? Over in Epcot. Sum of All Thrills. That's what it's called. The Sum of All Thrills. You used to be able to go in and watch a super cheesy little video and make your own roller coaster. And then you sit in a simulator and it like throws you all over the place and you ride your roller coaster. The coolest thing. I loved that.
I never did that one.
That was super fun. You could get yourself real sick on that.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine.
But I'm adding that one in because I loved that. That was fun.
Perfect. Well, I think that that leaves us on a good note to end the show.
Perfect.
So, well, thanks for all these listener questions. They actually really came in handy with this newsless episode.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm always down for listener questions. So if you guys have any, send them on in. Yeah. All right. Well, Katie, that's going to do it for this week. Where can we find you?
You guys come hang out with me on Instagram. I am at Magically Mootsy. And then I'm also on Parksnacker at Magically Mootsy. And I'm going to be I need to start making some of my list for my upcoming trip in January.
Heck yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. All right, well, you can find us at parksnacker.com. You can find all of our links there. We are mostly on Instagram. We are also on Twitter, Facebook, and all that. Make sure you are subscribing to the Parksnacker Pod. If you're not doing that already, please do so. If you want to buy some Park Snacker merch, you can go to our store, store.parksnacker.com, or, you know, parksnacker.com as well. The link is there. You know, get some of our fun merch. I'm trying to think what else. You know, we're on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TikTok, you know, all that fun stuff. Mostly just on Instagram, though.
One social is enough to me.
Yeah, which I'm on less now. For my main personal phone, I deleted, like, all social media, deleted everything. So, like, I use my wife's old iPhone as, like, my Park Snacker phone. So, like, I only check Park Snacker, like, you know, a couple times a day now. So, it's too much. So
It's okay. Yeah.
But, all right. Well, Katie, until next time, we'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
Bye.